Find your place. If you're physically able, stand out of respect and reverence to the Word of God. And we're coming to the end of James. I can't believe it. And you watch me say that, and then we probably have about 15 more lessons in the verses. Amen. You never can tell. Amen. There is some really meaty verses in this text. Particularly the last one, boy, I'll tell you what. Let him that knoweth he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's a soul-winning verse right there, amen. Hide a multitude of sins. James chapter 5, we're going to read the first six verses tonight. And we have a study entitled, The Curse of Covetousness. The Curse of Covetousness. So James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, as is our custom. Let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse 6? Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of your kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. What a tremendous text that is. You've lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Father, please bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In your introduction tonight, James is dealing with wealth. And we mentioned in our last lesson, Biblical Counsel on Money, this was the third time that James took up this subject here. But he's dealing with wealth, or the love of money. Blank line there. The love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10. Or covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm inclined to believe here that he is speaking to the wicked as opposed to the believers. I think verse 7 bears that out, where it talks about, be patient therefore, brethren, meaning there's a readdress there. I believe he's talking to the rich that has gotten his rich here by dishonest gain, as Proverbs forbids. And so I believe that the entire passage here bears out a judgment against ungodly riches. So number one, the declaration in verse 1. The declaration. Go to now. And you remember we saw that before in chapter 4, verse 13 is the only other place in the Scriptures where that appears. Go to now, ye that say today and tomorrow we will go into such a city. That's verse 13, talking about the sin of presumption. Here we have the sin of covetousness. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Is God against having riches or gaining wealth? Easy answer, church. No, he's not. Blank line there. No. And we have cross-reference Job, very rich, became richer after God dealt with him. Abraham, very rich. Joseph of Arimathea, very wealthy. Amen. God is not against wealth. Why then is the rich man, blank line there, rich man here commanded to weep and howl? These are the rich who are putting their trust in riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 talks, Paul says to Timothy, tell them not to be high-minded about or trust in uncertain riches. And then I believe it's Proverbs 23:5 on your sheet that talks about how riches fly away. Some of us know that money talks and mine always says goodbye. Amen. And so speaking here to those rich men that are trusting in their riches, God says, weep and howl. Because you know what? Riches are not to be trusted in. God is to be trusted in. Amen. And so there's a declaration there. Secondly, I want you to notice the depreciation in verses 2 and 3. Look at it, church. Amen. If you've got your Bible there, look at the depreciation. I think most of us that have ever bought a car understand depreciation. As soon as you drive it off the lot, amen, Brother Lem, amen. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it goes down in value. Amen. But here, God has something particular to say about the. Here's this man, and he says, I've got all these riches. I think of Luke chapter 12, amen. The man that said, oh, I've got so much, I got to pull down my barns and build bigger ones, amen. Same kind of character we're looking at here. Verse 2 says, your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. This is very interesting. These four words here, the first one, number one, they're corrupted. Listen, I've mentioned so many times, I'm not a Greek scholar, and not too many people are, but I think you can learn something. God help us. There are some people, I don't want to know anything about the Greek. Well, the Holy Spirit chose to write the New Testament in Greek. He chose that. Amen. And sometimes words carry meaning that can help us to an understanding. This first one, corrupted, it's the word sapo, meaning to putrefy. So he says there, your riches are corrupted or putrefied. Brother Holy, I think we can say it this way. Your riches stink. They stink. They send off an awful scent. By the way, that word there, sapo, this is the only time in the New Testament it's used. The only time. The next word, moth-eaten. Sitobrotos. Moth-eaten. Only time in the New Testament is used. I think most of us could get the illustration that he's trying to give here. Your garments are... So imagine you're a garment salesman and you open up the back of the truck and you go in to sell and to make money and all the clothes are moth-eaten. They're worthless. That's what God's saying here. You think those riches are going to save you? They certainly aren't. They're moth-eaten, those garments. Then the word cankered. Katio, cankered. Meaning to corrode. What does it say there? Your gold and silver is cankered or corroded. By the way, that's the only time that word is used. Very interesting. Those first three words, the only time in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit chose to use those words. The last word there is rust, ios. But it doesn't only mean rust. It's used a couple of other times in the New Testament. And it's used the word poison or venom. And so it's saying here, these riches are poison. Poison. They're depreciated. Didn't Matthew tell us to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through? I'm so glad for this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so glad for those of you, and I praise God. I write a letter at the end of every year to the church in our annual meeting, and I'll tell you, one of the highlights this year is going to be the giving of God's people. It's been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Our missions giving, our parking lot, everything. It's amazing in the black. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We don't trust in those riches. We trust in the God who distributes those riches. And we want to be faithful to Him. Amen. And so here, there's a depreciation. You know ultimately why riches depreciate? Because one day, God's going to burn it all up. 2 Peter 3:10 talks about how He's going to renovate this earth and the heavens with fervent heat. I was talking to a preacher up at the men's retreat, and we were talking about what's going on with this Elliot Larson civil rights bill and all that. And I told him, I said, you know what, brother, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to stand as long as I can stand. And if I have to stand on the other side of the wire, I'll stand with you. Amen. But I said, one day the apostates are going to own this building. They're gonna. One day the apostates, they're gonna stand up here and mock our Savior. You know why? Because we're gonna be in heaven at the rapture. So there's a depreciation about riches. Oh, I'm not saying don't save. Good night. We had three lessons on money the last 3 weeks. Amen. But there's a depreciation if you're trusting in money. Trust God. Trust God. Amen. So the depreciation. Thirdly, we see the damnation. In verse 3, the back half of the verse there, it says, and talking about the your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. We give you a couple references there. Revelation 18, those of you that know your Bible know that that is the destruction of economic Babylon. You have religious Babylon in Revelation chapter 17, which of course is headquartered in Rome during the tribulation. But then at the end you have economic Babylon, boy, and it's just going to boom! And you know what? The rich man, we have in your notes there, the rich man's wealth will not save him from God's judgments. The rich man's wealth. By the way, this is one of the great, great arguments against Catholic indulgences. See, I grew up in the Church of Rome, ladies and gentlemen. And it was just that simple. If you paid indulgences to the priest, he could pray your relatives out of purgatory. By the way, no, he couldn't either. Can't pray a person out of a place that doesn't exist. So, listen, when a soul dies, they go into be the presence of the Lord, and they go into everlasting punishment, one or the other. By the way, may God help us to remember that. Amen. Carry these gospel tracts, and not just carry them, pass them out. Amen. The damnation. Boy, I love this quote by R.G. Lee. If you've never heard the sermon, Payday Someday, you need to hear it. And I remember hearing this ages ago, Brother Case, when he said this quote. R.G. Lee taught, and by the way, if you don't know what Payday Someday is all about, it's all about when Naboth had a vineyard that he wouldn't sell to Ahab, and Ahab killed him, and along came the prophet and said, God knows what you did, and He's going to judge you, and here's how exactly He's going to judge you, and He's going to judge your wicked wife Jezebel too. And it came to pass later on, but it came to pass just like the man of God said. And R.G. Lee said, there's a payday someday. He said this, His justice slumbereth not. Even though the mill of God grinds slowly, it grinds to powder. And then he said this, even though His judgments have leaden heels, they have iron hands. You know what leaden heels are like? They're just moving at a slow pace. But I'm going to tell you something. God's judgment always reaches its destination. Damnation here. Damnation. The rich man's wealth will not save him from God's judgment. Fourthly, the description. Verse 4. The description. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. First, we see the plea of the laborers. Here, these men have worked for an employer. They've worked hard, and he's kept back what was rightfully theirs by fraud. Brother Tim, you're an employer. Amen. Brother Jack's an employer. Uncle Joe's an employer. That's a frightful verse for an employer. Amen. You want to pay your people decently. Amen. Give them a living wage. Help them to be able to not only have a living wage, but have a life, a good life. Amen. But boy, why? And listen, we're not talking about socialism or anything like that. It's just right here in the Scriptures. Amen. But then we see not only the plea of the laborers, we see the perception of the Lord. They cried, said, we're just absolutely not able to make the ends meet. And I don't think it was because they had an iPhone, Brother Holy. And I don't think it was because they had cable, Uncle Joe. I think that literally it wasn't enough to even feed their family. And they cried unto God. And the perception of the Lord was, I heard it. I heard that, you wicked rich man. Again, God not against riches. He's against hoarding. Ungodliness, amen, which is what's going on here. So we see there the description, the plea of the laborers, and then the perception of the Lord. And then lastly, notice the disclosure. The disclosure in verses 5 and 6. Read them with me. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Four things notice. First of all, notice the disclosure of their pleasure. Ye have lived in pleasure. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, that's the day we live in. The last days, one of the signs of the last days, that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so here these rich men, they live in pleasure while... you can't help but think of Luke chapter 16, Brother Harmon. That rich man that had it all, and there was Lazarus, that beggar, that just wanted the crumbs that fell from off the rich man's table. God help us. I've mentioned so many times. Listen, I know there's scammers out there. I heard of one today. I was listening to the radio and they said somewhere, I can't remember where, they said a young woman and her son were on the street corner begging. And someone watched them. And at the end of the day, they got in a Mercedes. I know there's scammers out there, but don't let them steal your heart. Don't let them harden your heart to the real plights of people. Amen? There are people, and I'm going to tell you something, it can turn around on us in two paychecks. Amen? It could turn around on us like that. Brother Randall, amen? Got sick, amen. Brother Lemmer, remember that? That happened. That could happen in a heartbeat where we could be the ones that... But boy, you know what? The rich man, they're just all about pleasure. One pleasure to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. So we see their pleasure, first of all. Secondly, look at verse 5. I want you to notice their plunder. It says there, and have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. What that means is that while people all around them were starving, it was like they just killed the fatted calf at the rich house. They nourished themselves while everyone around them was... There was their plunder, amen? The disclosure of their plunder. Look, if you would, I've got to hurry here. Look at verse 6. It says, ye have condemned and killed the just. Notice the disclosure of their power. I don't think any of us has to look far to know that folks with riches are powerful. And they exercise their power. I'm from Massachusetts. We used to say, when I used to preach out, I'd say, greetings from Massachusetts, the worst state in the Union. I bid you greetings from our senators, Ted Kennedy and John Kerry. Aren't you glad they're not ours? Yeah, both gone, thank the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. In 1969, a very rich man named Ted Kennedy was in a car with somebody that wasn't his wife.
Amen.
And drove off a bridge, and she drowned, and he waited 12 hours to call the authorities. And you know what? That rich man got away with it.
Right.
Until he died. Until he died. One day he's going to get a fair trial. Listen, folks, rich, according to this text, they're powerful. They've killed the just. Think of over and over and over through time. I think of Bloody Mary, Queen Mary of Scots, and what she did to the Christians. Powerful. Rich! Lastly, though, we see their pleasure, we see their plunder, we see their power, but we see their punishment, don't we? The last part of verse 6 says, "Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." You know what that means? God's going to judge. God's going to judge. God. One of the reasons, I believe, one of the reasons, now of course, obviously, outside of the Bible's clear. One of the reasons I believe in an afterlife is because many times in this life, there is no justice. Many times. But you know what? Those laborers, they cried and the Lord of Sabbath heard them. And the just cried, and they will cry in Revelation. One, I believe the fifth seal, amen, is the martyr's cry. How long until thou avengest? And God says, you wait. I'm going to tread out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. By the way, thank God we fled for refuge.
Amen.
Or that would be us. Amen. Father, bless tonight. Thank you, Lord, for our study. Lord, how I've enjoyed the study of your word. Lord, bless our precious people tonight. Lord, help us. Lord, as we think about this awful judgment, Lord, help us to be in the soul warning business, to carry gospel tracts, to have a good testimony. Lord, to have hope on our face, for your word says, Lord, that we're always to be ready to give an answer of the hope which lieth within us. And Lord, we've got to have some hope in our countenance for someone to want the hope that we have. I pray that you bless. We think of our sick tonight, especially Mrs. T. Bless her and Brother Morris tonight. Bless now our time and invitation. Lord, we thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. How about page 493, ladies?